You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
We've been talking about the values all work together. The values piece together. The values aren't separate. The values aren't broken apart. And so one of the things that I want to share with you guys is if you're a visitor with us today, this is what I want to talk to you about, what's going on. You get to sit in a family conversation. And my kids learned that when they used to invite their friends over and they'd come over and we had to deal with something as a family. I didn't decide that we're not going to deal with family issues just because your friends were over. We still dealt with family issues because my daughter thought that if she invited her friends over, she didn't have to do dishes. And no, there's a family issue. You still need to do your chores, and I don't care what you're doing, your friends can help you. So if you're a visitor here today, I just want to share with you guys, just sit back, relax. What I'm talking about, I want you to realize it's for everybody else that's in the room, not you. So just relax, okay? Here's why. I'm talking about money today. And anybody who ever visits a church, their biggest fear of coming into a church is to hear about someone's talking about money. What I want to share with you guys is in the 6 years of me teaching at Real Church, this is going to be the first time that I've taught on money. So welcome to the one Sunday. This is your time. But let me just share with you guys, let me give you guys some background information, okay? Let me be real. Let me open up. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I grew up poor. And my understanding of church people is they were stingy with their money. They were brutal and they were mean to my dad. And they had nice things and we had crappy things. And when God came to me and said, Nathan, I want you to be a pastor, I said, oh, heck no. Heck no. I don't want to serve people who don't want to serve you. And God got in my face and he says, Nathan, do you love me? I said, no, I don't love you. God said, Nathan, I love you. Do you love me? I said, I don't love you. And this was a journey from age 13, on and on and on and on until I finally decided in my mid-20s, okay, Lord, I will absolutely serve you. And here was my biggest thing that I shared with God when I was in my 20s. I said, okay, God, you want me to be a pastor, but let's do it for real. Let's actually be the church that comes alive and not the church that we read about in history books. Let's be the church, God, that sees your power move, that sees how great and awesome you are. Let's be a group of people who loves each other, who are generous, who give of themselves to each other so that the community and the kingdom of God can grow. I remember in my early 20s, God said, Nathan, you watch. You're going to get to see it. Now, let me start out. I share with you my fear and my pain, and I know that each of us has fear and pain when it comes to money. Money causes massive amounts of problems in our lives and with our families, with our friends, and with our cities through taxation, okay? We have massive problems when it comes to our money. Some people grow up in households where you just don't talk about money. Well, I grew up in a household where we had to talk about money because we only had so much. And so as a small child, I learned how to budget at a very young age. I remember my dad coming in and talking to me, and he said, Nathan, I'm giving you a dollar. I want you to tithe 10% of the dollar. Now, what's interesting is as a small child, I realized that he gave me dimes. So he didn't give me a dollar. He gave me a dollar's worth of dimes. And my dad said, Nathan, what I want you to do is I want you to take 10 cents, and I want you to give it to God, and I want you to take 10 cents, and I want you to save it. And then this other 80 cents, you can do what you want with. And so I looked at him and I thought, well, it would be a whole lot easier if I could use the full dollar and go to 7-Eleven and play 4 video games. And by loving God and by saving, I could only play 3 video games and maybe have some extra if I waited a whole nother month. Now, that was a dumb idea. But what my dad taught me was a very important lesson. And I'm already starting to preach. And if you're listening, I want you to take notes. What my dad taught me to do was to live on 80% of what I had. And because my dad taught me at a very young age to live on 80% of what I had, I have never been at a loss when it comes to money. I do not live month to month. I do not live check to check. That's just not how I live. When I was a very young man, I learned this understanding and I learned this process. My kids, as I was trying to teach them, they didn't understand this process. My kids got to grow up with a dad who was doing much better and was much more wealthy than my parents were when I grew up. And so my kids had more money. And so I had to institute a new thing with my children. I've instituted a new plan. So Brown Teaching Finances 2.0, I brought it out. And I said, you can never spend more than half of what is in your savings. That really ticked my children off. Because what they wanted cost all of their savings. Isn't that how we all are? The dream of what I want to do costs everything that I have. And that keeps putting me in that peril of feeling unsafe, fearful, not relaxed, angry, worried, scared. And that's just a great way to live a Monday, isn't it? And so I came to my kids and I said, no, I get it. I understand that you want this. So I've already taught you one thing when it comes to finances, and I really hope you guys write this down. Tithe 10, save 10, live on 80. Some of you guys, that's going to be a radical life lesson. I'm going to get to it in a second of how to get there. The second thing that I learned early on was something called delayed gratification. Okay, if you're writing down your notes, write down delayed gratification. And this is what delayed gratification means. It means when you first get married, don't go out and buy a couch. Go out to Target and buy 2 beanbags. Here's why. You're young and your body can handle it. When you buy a couch, you're young and your bank account can't handle it. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? And so you're young and then you're married and you argue about finances because that's phenomenal for the first 7 years of your marriage. That's what you should do. Lock 2 selfish people in a room that have no money and let them yell at each other. I think it's going to go great. No, don't do that. And so what I want you guys to do is I'm talking about stuff that was said in me and stuff that was put into me. And then there's this deep-seated fear of, oh God, I don't trust you. Don't we all have that? Don't we all have that deep fear? God, I don't know if you're going to show up. God, you show up when you want to show up. You show up how you want to show up. You stay as long as you want, and when you're done, you go. Like, God, I have no idea what's going on with you. And so we have this struggle that we have with control. So as I start to teach on generosity, I just wanted to get real for a moment and share with you guys my perspective, pull back the curtains and share with you. But then here's the next thing I want to do with you is as I bring you into generosity and talk about generosity is I want you to hear this. This is the most generous group of people I have ever been around in my life. This church is the most generous church I have ever been around. And some of you guys know what my church before this church was, and that church was generous. And I'm telling you, you crush that church in your generosity. Now, here's the problem. We can't get prideful. We can't go, yeah, we're amazingly generous. We're awesome. Now we got a whole nother subset of problems. But what I want you guys to hear for a second is I'm going to teach a sermon that you're good at. So what you're going to think is, well, we should check out on this. I shouldn't listen to this. I was at a men's conference years ago, and this is what I was taught by an amazing man. He said, an unguarded strength is a double weakness. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. In other words, when you think you're amazing at something and you think you will never fail in that area, guess where you're going to fail? In that area. And so what I want to communicate to our church is insanely generous. But don't let that go to your head. And at the same time, we have more work to do. Let me explain to you how generous of a church you are. Look around the room. Today, we probably have about 50 people with kids, maybe 60 with kids. And for me as a pastor, with how much I cost, just me, all by myself, in order for my family to be taken care of, an average church in America would have to be the size of 250 people to be able to take care of me. Do you guys see 250 people in this room? In other words, what I'm saying is our little tiny church does the work of a church of 250. Dang. Years ago, when I was a pastor in California, I was the executive pastor, and I knew this. I knew that if somebody attended church, and I'm not guilting anybody. I'm just giving information. Wherever you fall on the spectrum, that's okay. I'm not guilting anybody. I want you to know the information. We knew that if we had a group inside of a room, that per person that was in the room, what would come in tithes and offerings was $22.50 per person per week. $22.50 per person per week. My tithe alone covered 12 people per month. And there were other people whose tithes that were bigger than mine covered other people. And so what I want you guys to know is there are a group of Christians who absolutely want God to be insanely generous with them, but they are not generous with God. Now let's talk about parenting for a second. Parents, if you have an incredibly non-generous child that only wants, and doesn't give you anything, how much do you enjoy giving to them if you're a good parent? You don't, do you? Do I have one amen in this room? I remember my daughter coming to me, cocky as all get out. She was 3 and she thought she was smarter and stronger than me. She came to me and she was mocking me with something that it was, and she basically told me, "You're my dad, you have to give me what I want." And oh, I handled it so spiritually well, like a calm Buddhist monk. I went to straight peace. I grabbed my Canada Dry, opened that bad boy up, took a sip of it. No, I didn't. I wanted to crush that kid like a bear, like an angry mauling bear. So I knew I couldn't touch her, so I just stood and yelled and growled. She cried. I had an argument with my wife later on that night. And then I remember talking to God that week, and he's like, "Nathan, that's how you are to me." I was just like, ooh. And he's like, "So get ready. I'm going to be a bear. I'm going to put my arms up in the air. I'm going to growl at you." I was like, "That's not going to go good, is it?" He's like, "No, I don't treat you that way. Why would you treat your daughter that way?" And I was like, "Oh, wow. Okay, God, I've got so much to learn when it comes to your generosity, and I've got so much to learn when it comes to my selfishness." So this is what I want you guys to do for a second. I want you guys to be willing to dive in to learn more about God's generosity, and I want you to be able to look at your selfishness. That's what I want you to be able to do. I'm not going to guilt anybody in this room. I'm not going to shame anybody in this room. I'm just going to say, how about let's just get real for a moment and look at it and talk about it, okay? So let's jump into generosity as I've kind of set it up. Here's what we've come into, and this was so difficult. And man, we argued about this one. I think we argued about all of them. But I think we really spent a lot of time on this one, and a lot of people really struggled with something that I stuck with. And I want to read it to you, and I want to explain to you how difficult this is, and even as I teach it, how uncomfortable this is. But I want you to understand the intent of what I'm trying to communicate and what I'm trying to share. Because if I grab something out and I take it out of this value, you lose the intent. So let's look at this value together. It says this. It says, we respond to God's generosity by seeking to give above 10% of our time, talents, and treasure to Real Church and God's kingdom. Let me pause there for a second. That 10% number makes it awkward, doesn't it? You see, I wanted to pull that number out. I wanted to take it away. I wanted there not to be a benchmark. I wanted there not to be a level, something to be able to measure. But those of you guys who are educators, you know very well that they tell you, if you can't measure it, you're not teaching it. And so one of the things I want you guys to be able to measure is I want you to be able to measure your generosity. I want you to be able to see if you're generous. I want you to be able to see, is how am I doing? Where am I at? And so we took the 10% out for a while, and we read it. We respond to God's generosity by seeking to give our time, talents, and treasure to Real Church and God's kingdom. But it didn't push us forward. It didn't cause us to lean into what we're trying to do. And so we set that number in there, and then there's tons of argument and there's tons of debate. Well, is it really 10% that you're supposed to give, and do Christians want to do this? And oh my gosh, I've been listening to this argument for 25 years. And let me help you out with this. If we go back pre-current evangelical American church and we go back to the time of Jesus when we're walking around, that number is 23% and above. So that number is 23% and above. You see, for the Old Testament law and the Old Testament rules were that you were supposed to give of your money and your finances for three main things if you were a God follower. And the first thing that you gave your money to was you gave your money to the Levites. And the Levites were a tribe and a group of people that God said, you don't get to work. All the other tribes are going to work and pay and make sure that you're taken care of. And if you're a biblical scholar, you have learned that the other families didn't take care of them. But God said, I will know how much you love me, and I will know how much you care for me, and I will know how much you care for the things that I love and the things that I care for if you take care of this group. So that's the first group. Then there's the second group. It was when you came together and there were festivals and there were events and there were these buildings that they would put together and there were storehouses and they would have all the festivals come together. And that for us is Sunday. So we come together on Sunday. So I want you guys to give another set of tithes for this on this day. So I want you to give money so that these people can minister and they can represent me to the world and to you. And then I want you guys to be able to get together and celebrate and have festivities. So you need to give this money. And then there's a third set of money I want you to give. And this is when you care for the alien, you care for the orphan, and you care for the poor. So we're talking three main things that are set up in that time period. And God said, this is what I want you to do. The main argument nowadays is, well, Jesus never said we're supposed to keep doing that. You know what? When I read through the Gospels, there's a lot of things that Jesus didn't say we're supposed to stop or we're supposed to keep going. My mindset is this. If he didn't say stop doing that, I think he wants us to still go. So here's my problem. That number 10% probably is too low. And guess what that does to my family's finances? That destroys my family's finances if we put 23 up there. So what I want you guys to know is this 10% number is a start. Now, some of you guys, you give nothing. That's okay. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. Some of you guys give 1%. That's great. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Some of you guys give 6. Some of you guys give 7. Some of you guys give 8. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Don't feel stress and pressure. All I want you to do is just look at it for a moment. That's it. Okay? So we respond to God's generosity, who gave us freedom, by seeking to give above 10% of our time, talents, and treasure to Real Church and God's kingdom. We recognize that every good thing comes from God. So we offer it sacrificially. That's not a fun word. Joyfully. That's a hard word to live out. And freely, recognizing that what we give reflects our own heart. Don't be angry at me. Tawny wrote it. I'm teasing. I think that was Nick. No, whatever. We'll throw everybody else underneath the bus, right? Okay? Sure. And you knew it wasn't me. There's too many commas. So seriously, if you guys have ever read anything written from me, it just makes Nick and Tawny upset because I don't use commas. And if I do, sometimes I just put 4 at the end and I say, put them where you need them. So let's just look at this. So these are just a few verses. Matthew 21, 1 Timothy 6, 18 through 19. Matthew 22, 36 through 39. 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 7. James 1, 17. Malachi 3, 10. These are a few verses of the hundreds of verses that talk about giving your money to God. So if we look at Scripture, there are massive amounts of verses that say, use what God gives you for his kingdom. We're grabbing a very tiny group of those verses. If you would like to spend more time and study more, you absolutely can. But the question is, what's your heart? Is your heart to find out the loopholes of how little you can give back to God? Or is your heart to find out what you're actually supposed to give to God? That's super important. So let's look at James 1:7. It says this. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good thing that you have is from who? God. That breath that you just took, who's that from? Stan's Donuts. Who is that from? Kale? Debatable. Every good thing that you have, your car, your apartment, the piano in your home, the silverware, the dishes, the glasses, the refrigerator. Do you realize we live in a time period where you can walk to a box and open it up and something's cold inside of it? Do you know what else? When I was a kid, we didn't have an automatic ice maker. Who grew up without an automatic ice maker? Who used to argue inside of the house who didn't refill the tray? Some of you guys don't even know what that is. I don't know if God can love you. I'm teasing. Look it up. It's on Pinterest. Every perfect gift that you get, man, it's too warm in here. Praise God. Isn't that a great problem? This summer, I hope we're like, man, it's too cold. Wouldn't that be phenomenal? Man, what a great gift. Just remember, everything that you have received is from your King. Your ability to see, your ability to hear, your ability to speak, your ability to taste, your ability to walk, your ability to run, your ability to sleep, your ability to laugh. Your God has lavished upon you amazing things. And I haven't even talked about friendships and relationships. Precious things. 1 Timothy 6, 18 through 19 sets up this next spot. Point number one is this. I am to respond to God's generosity with generosity. I am to respond to God's generosity with generosity. As a young kid, I learned what generosity was. Generosity was giving more than I wanted to. Do you remember having to, like, you had like some chips and your friend was next to you and he wanted some of your chips and you looked at it and you were like, all right, I'll give him one, but I still have eight. Is that generous? Do you remember when you were a little kid and you were sitting in the kitchen and maybe there was another kid with you and maybe your mom or your dad or an adult cut a sandwich? Were you the first kid to figure out which side of the sandwich was bigger? I always did. Were you the kid that screamed, that's not fair, they got more? A generous heart goes, that's okay, they need more. And I realized that God is trying to produce in me a heart that's just like his heart. And I recognize that most of the stuff that I do tries to produce in me a heart that's of this world, that's of my flesh. And it's stingy. It's more like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Mine, my precious. It's not, yeah, you can use it. I'm to respond to God's generosity with generosity. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying to Timothy, this is what I want the people inside the church to do. This is the type of people I want them to be, and this is where I want them to go. And he says, I want them to produce great works and to be generous and to be ready to share. And then we just learned, that everything that's good comes from God. So even those good works that you do, those aren't yours. Those are from God. That's amazing. And God is saying, look, I want you to be generous just like I'm generous. And the people group that Paul is writing about is a very poor people group. They don't have a lot. And Paul is saying, the people that don't have a lot, I still want them to be generous. Because there's a mindset inside of us, right? Well, I don't have enough to be generous with. Once I get to a certain point, then I can be generous. If I just get $1,000 more a month, then I can be generous. For some of us, it used to be $1,000 a month. Now it's, well, if I can just get $10,000 more a month. And then you get the $10,000, you're like, well, if I can just get $100,000 more a month, God, I could be generous. Do you realize that if you're not generous with $1, you can't be generous with 10, can't be generous with 100, and you can't be generous with 1,000? It starts small, okay? Matthew 6:21 says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I hate this verse. Can we all vote and just take this one out of scripture? Make a Jeffersonian Bible? We'll only keep the scriptures that we really like. What I don't like about this verse is it reveals who I am and where I'm really at. A couple years ago, I came into my living room and I had saved money, and I'd saved for 4 years, actually 3.5 years, for a brand new TV. And I had saved money and I went to this store called Tiger Direct that doesn't exist anymore. It was over on Elston, and I went into Tiger Direct and I looked at this TV, and I kept walking in and I kept waiting for this TV to go on sale. And then one day the TV went on sale, and I looked at the amount of money I had in my account, and I looked at the TV and I looked at my wife and said, please. And she said, okay. And so I went and I got that TV and I put that TV in and I watched that TV. And the TV was amazing. And this TV, I love TV. I love watching things move around. I love not going outside to see them move. I want to watch nature come inside. And so, you guys got that joke. So one morning a couple years ago, I came walking into my idol. And I walked into my living room and I came in and I greeted my television. I said, good morning. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. And I looked at my TV and it looked different. I looked at my TV really carefully and it looked really different. And then I really looked at my TV and it was different. It had a massive scratch all the way through the mantle of the TV, all the way around to the bottom and all the way up to the side. And then just for flair, a little curly Q at the end. What? I lost my mind. Turned bright red, got the pitchfork, had the horns and the tail. I mean, you guys have been there. You guys have been there, haven't you? I didn't do the tights because they're not flattering. Cape. So I'm losing my mind, and I realize some precious visitors that we had in our house, their small child grabbed one of those really cool steel water bottles that we all carry around and drew on the TV with it. I would love to say I didn't want to kill that kid. I would love to say that every part of your spiritual leader was like, that's okay. Let's draw more. That is not what I said. Do you know what I said? Nothing. I walked out of the room grieved in the spirit. Translation, pissed off. Losing my mind. Have you been there? And I was so angry and I was so bitter. It took me about an hour or two to come down. And this precious couple were like, we're so sorry. We'll buy you a new TV. And I'm like, you guys don't have money to buy me a new TV. You have small children. You're poor. Like, that's just the... Yeah, no. You can't buy me a new TV. And I remember for months sitting there watching my TV with this scratch in it. And I just remember God working on my heart over and over and over and over again. And he says, Nathan, why do you care more about that TV than you do that precious child? I was like, God, let's not talk about it. I'm watching the Masters and I can't see Tiger Woods putt. God's like, you've got some wrong motivations, Nathan. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Ooh. I love stuff more than I love people. Not okay. Heart change, sitting in it, wrestling with that, coming to God, going, God, I can't change that. You need to change that in me. And he's like, oh, I've been working on it. Well done not picking that kid up and throwing him through the window when you saw what happened to the TV. You've grown. I'm like, thank you, Lord, I've leveled up. Yes. Matthew 22, 36 through 39. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Other texts later on in other places say it with all your strength. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What God is saying is, where's your treasure? Do you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? And do you love your neighbor in the kingdom of God? Not in the kingdom of the world, in the kingdom of God. Do you love them there? And I have to take an inventory and go, nope. I am so flesh, it's incredible, God. And God goes, right, that's why I sent my son. That's why I've put my spirit inside of you, because I want to create something in you that's different. And here's what I want you guys to understand, that the world has always known about regenerate Christians who love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. They were the ones during the Black Plague who walked in and risked their lives and gathered up bodies and put them all together to clean up the city. And they were the ones who died and sacrificed their lives for other people who were hurting. They were the ones who went in and sacrificed flesh because they knew what was eternal. And I sit back and I'm like, God, I can't sacrifice flesh. And I listen to Christians say it all the time. Say, Nathan, why are you going to Chicago and planting a church? That's not a good career move. I'm like, do you think? It's a stupid career move. But this is what my king has called me to do. These are the orders that I have received. This is my task. And I will be faithful to complete it, because where my heart is, my treasure is. And I'm trying with everything that I can to get it over there. Point number one is I'm to respond to God's generosity with generosity. Point number two is I will give back to God. Notice it's I will think, or maybe I should. No, it's an action statement. I will give back to God. I will give back to God my time, my talent, and my treasure. Now, let's just talk super real here for a moment. I know you've been hurt if you've been in church longer than 5 minutes. Do you know why you've been hurt? Because you're here. And do you also know that you hurt people too? You're not the only one who's been hurt. You've hurt other people. But this is a thing that happens. If you ever find a perfect church, don't go there. You'll ruin it. You will take your sin in and destroy that place. And by the way, that's called eternity, or on this side, that's just an empty church on Tuesday and nobody's in it. Have the heart and the mindset that you want to give back to God and own the difficulties, own the junk that's between you and God of you wanting to love on him. I told you my junk. I grew up poor. I was like, no way in the world I want to go be poor. I don't want that for my children. I don't want that for my wife. I don't even want that for my pets. And God's like, Nathan, do you love me? No. I love Thomas Jefferson more. I love Abraham Lincoln more. Man, oh, give me my Benjamins, God. That's what I need. And God's like, who do you think is the one who's in charge of paper being made? I'm like, you, Lord. He's like, Nathan, do you love me? No, I don't love you, God. You have to produce the love in me so that I can do it. Some of you guys, you don't want to be generous. That's okay. Again, I'm not mocking you. Just own, God, I don't want to be generous. Please produce that in me. God, I don't want to be gracious. Please produce that in me. God, I don't want to pray. Please produce that in me. Notice all of our values, they have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. These aren't things that we do naturally. I will give back my time. What does my time look like? Look at how much time in the week you give to God. I'm not judging you. I'm not putting you down. I just want you guys to look, and that if I came into your house and I spent time with you and I hung out with you all week, I could tell you who your idols are and what you worship. You could come to me and you could go, Pastor Nathan, that's really crazy. You really worship the Premier League in England. You love soccer. You love SportsCenter, Pastor Nathan. Oh my gosh, you love athletes. You love sports more than you love God. Fair. Some of you guys just like British accents more than you like God. I'm not naming names, Danielle. Tawny. Yeah, that's true. That's fair. I like that. Just sit back and think, if you look at your collective amount of time that you spend, where do you put all your time? Now, I'm not asking for 100% of your time to go to God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, how about you start moving towards 10%? Now, I'm not a mathematician, and I don't want to do a lot of studying. I don't know how many waking hours you have per week. You can do the time. You can do the math on that. Heck, ask Alexa or Siri. They probably know. But what I want you to do is sit back and think about what would it look like if I started to maneuver and position my life closer to God? Would that be worse for me or would that be better for me? And the reality is it's better for you because we've all cut God out and we've all seen how that's gone. With my talent, the things that you're good at, the things that you have, God has blessed you with abilities and gifts and strengths and artistic abilities and wisdom and brilliance. What if you use that for God? Some of you guys are like, well, I'm just really good at lifting things. Let me tell you something right now. 8 a.m. on Sunday, I would love to see you here. Help me lift these speakers. Help us put this church together. I would be so honored to spend time with you in the morning. That is an incredible amount of gifting. Now, we've come, again, we're a culture of showing up. And when I was in Southern California, we would show up to a baseball game in the second or the third inning, and then we would leave in the seventh or the eighth. We have this Christian culture of showing up late to things with God and wanting to leave early. What if God did that with us? So what I want you to understand is, what if we started to have a heart of, no, God, you're incredibly generous. Now, I'm not pitching four-hour services. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is how about you give a little bit more time to God? What would that look like? Right when we start to close down and once service is over, try not to take off super fast. Stop scheduling stuff so close to after church. Give yourself a buffer. And relax and hang out with people. Does that make sense? Maybe on Saturday night, don't stay out super late till 2, 3 in the morning because then you're super tired and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't go to church. Stay out till like 11:30 and go home and sleep and come hang out with us. You get what I'm trying to say? Start bringing in what you have, your treasure. What is it that is valuable to you? And for most of us, that's our money. But for some of us, we use our cars for the kingdom of God. David McDonald meets me every single Sunday morning, except for the times when he's not loving the Lord and I'm teasing. But he meets me every Sunday morning and he hooks up our church trailer to one of his vehicles and he tows it here. He uses his vehicle to bring God's stuff to the church so that the church can do. Many of you guys use other things. You use your instruments if you're on the worship team to do things. Some of you guys, you do children's ministry and you print paper out at home. You do tons of stuff and you bring it in and it's the collectiveness of what we do that we all come together and we get to see this amazingness. Coffee cart. Some of you guys, I love it. I have no idea what's gonna be over there on the table. It is so fun. We have had, and let me just talk about, first of all, just generosity. Matt Smith, you've been leading worship now at Real Church for how many years? Right, so 14 years, and we've only been around 7. Okay, well done, okay? He has been diligently leading with his gifts and his talents, and he has been serving our church for 7 years. Praise God. Yeah. Okay, Rachel and Tony, you guys have been doing coffee cart for how long?
6 or 7 years.
Offer on, give it break, walk away, whatever. Phenomenal. Thank you so much. Sometimes my voice doesn't work and I need hot water. What a gift. Okay? Danielle, you've been running sound for how many years? Yeah, sure. Yeah, 6. Been singing on the worship team how many years? Yeah, again, what I want you guys, and I can keep going. Alex, where's Alex? Alex and Siobhan, you guys have been doing youth ministry for how long? 5 years. Okay. We have dedicated people inside of our church. And maybe I didn't name what you're doing. I know Emily and Jen Parsi have been doing children's ministry for massive amounts of time, but we can't cheer for them. They're not in here. Actually, Jen is. So Jen's like, I'm here, just checking if she's listening. I almost called her up to stand. I thought she was asleep. But you guys know that joke. You're very awake. Okay, very, that's fair. Okay. We have people in our church who have been serving for years. Some of you guys, I want you to join them. I want you to join in. I want you to hang out. I want you to side by side. I don't want you to take over for them. I want you to be with them. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Be generous with your time. Come in. Let's absolutely have a blast and do this together. You can run sound. You can do the slides. There's many things that we have going on that you can be a part of. Okay, we've got another guy in our church who's phenomenal, and I'm gonna throw him underneath the bus. But it's John Ross, and he's come to me and he said, you know, hey, this is what I want to do, and this is what God is calling me, and I feel like I really need to be serving in ministry. Pastor Nathan, how can I serve you? And I said, would you please help me clean the basement? Do you know how used our basement is? Do you know, some of you guys, that we have some precious children who roll around on the floor in our basement? Do you know that in the winter, I try to mop that room once a week, no matter what is going on, because your children are precious, and I have no idea what they're going to lick? Amen. And he comes to me, and he goes, Nathan, how is that going to serve you? And I just looked at him and said, you have no idea how much that's going to serve me. We have a restroom that needs to be cleaned. We have so many things. Listen, you can jump on board and help. That's all we want. Just a team, just to come alongside. So I will give back to God. Maybe there's an area that you're really good at that I don't even know that you're good at. And you're like, Pastor Nathan, you have no idea what I'm good at. I'm like, probably true. Tell me. I can do this. Please. All right? And then we jump into 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 7. It says, So I thought it necessary to urge you, brothers, to go on ahead of you and to arrange in advance for the gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. So what's going on is Paul is going around and he's doing all these missionary things, and he is set aside for the work of the gospel, and he has bills. He's got to eat food. He's got to live somewhere. And the other thing is he's building up other people who are sacrificing of themselves to be in charge of churches, to oversee groups of people, and they've got bills and they need food. And so what he's doing is he's writing back to a group of people who are well-to-do, and he's saying, this group over here needs help. But I'm not going to tell you you have to give. I want you to give out of love. Now, what I want you to understand is, and I think a lot of people make a mistake inside of this passage, is they think Paul is saying that the people at that church get to decide whether or not they want to give to their church. That's not what this passage is saying. Paul is saying, I'm way over here, and I'm doing a work over here, and it's not part of your church. I'm asking you to help what I'm doing. And if you would like to help what I'm doing, it would be really awesome if you guys could give a gift. And I'm going to send somebody over there to get ready so that you can give the gift. You see, as Christians, it is not in our ability to choose whether or not we give back to the kingdom of God. That's not a discussion. We are to give back to the kingdom of God. What Paul is saying is he's saying, I want you to give over and above what you're doing. And I want you to give to the kingdom of God. He continues on in verse 6. He says, the point is this. So Paul is teaching a very important practical financial principle, just like gravity. It works. Here it is. He says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, our world has a statement that it uses, and they call it what? Karma? Right? What you give, you get back. Okay, Justin Timberlake, one of our great, phenomenal poets and artists of this century, says, what comes around, goes around, back around. All right? Some of you guys, you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, negative, back, focus. So what I'm not talking about in this passage is I'm not talking about regular tithes and offerings, and I'm going to talk deeper about that here in a second, but what Paul is talking about is a special love gift. And today at the end of service, we're going to do a love gift, and many of you guys know about what we're up to and what we're doing, that there's a pastor inside of our city who's hit a really huge medical snag, and that pastor has given up everything he can do to come to be a part of a church up here in Avondale, and that pastor and his wife have come up against some really difficult things, and he's a vet, and even the VA doesn't cover the medical needs that he has. Yay, America. Well, that's a whole nother political conversation, isn't it? But we don't have a veteran that we're taking care of. We have a pastor that I'm asking you guys to help out. They have a $30,000 need. We're not going to meet the $30,000 need. We're not. But we're going to give something. Years ago, my wife and I, we were in Southern California. We were in Riverside, and this precious couple took us out to dinner, and they were talking with us, and they were like, so you're going to go plant a church in Chicago? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, do you know that it's cold there? And we were like, yeah. We're pretty ready for that question. They said, you know, we want you guys to know that we are going to absolutely miss you, and we want you guys to know that we absolutely believe in you and Danielle, and we believe in the church that you're going to plant. And so we wanted to give you a gift. And so Danielle and I thought, sweet, you know, like they're going to give us a 25 gift certificate, you know, to whatever, to California Pizza Kitchen, because that's what a lot of people gave us because they thought we'd miss that. But I'm not joking. It really is true. We opened this card, and my mom taught me a long time ago, when you open a card, you don't look at the check first. You actually read the card. Has anybody been taught that? Anybody hate that lesson? So we flipped open the card and we started to read the card, and it literally said, we want to bless what you guys are doing in Real Church, and we cannot wait to hear what God does through the gospel with you. And then we flipped over the check, and on the check was written $10,000. I've never given a gift of $10,000 to anybody. I pray for the day that I can. Amen. Just stop there and think for a second. Lord, bless me enough that I could do that. That's the heart of a Christian. Lord, bless me enough that I can bless people like you can't believe. But that's not our heart. Lord, give me a raise so I can go to Tahiti. Lord, those Teslas look sweet. Whatever your issue is, that new handbag, maybe you want one of those tiny dogs to put in your handbag. I don't know. They're expensive. But what I'm talking about is what if you shifted your heart for a second and admitted that you're constantly asking God for more, but what if your heart was, God, give me more so I can bless people more? Do you know what God does with people like that? He puts them in really nice houses. He gives them really nice cars. He gives them the ability to do things because their hearts are in the right place. Some of us, we can't get that type of money because it would destroy us. So you've got to sit back and realize, Lord, you need to do some work in me so that you can give me that kind of money so I'm not destroyed. And God goes, yeah, how about you put more time into study and discipleship and training? Spend some time with me. And you're like, maybe that's not going to work. God, is there like some video I could watch? Probably not going to happen. Third point. My gifts will be. So I'm going to give back to God my time, my talent, my treasure. And my gifts are going to be sacrificial, joyful, and sustainable. Okay, let's talk about some of these things. Sacrificial. One of the things that you guys will learn about me, I have tons of flaws. This is just one of those funny flaws that I have. And my Thursday morning Bible study ladies all know my flaw. Okay? Ladies, if I go to Costco and I'm walking around through the clothes area, what am I not supposed to buy any more of? Do you guys remember? I love jackets. Anybody else love jackets? Man, I love jackets. And they have sweet jackets. Every time I go into Costco, they've got a new jacket. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a new jacket. Do you know that I have given away more of my jackets to people in this city? Do you know what that says about me? Something I absolutely love that I don't want to give away. I do. What does that say about me? I'm an idiot? Shouldn't buy any more jackets? No. What it says is that things that are super valuable to me that I treasure, I am moving to the point that I'm okay giving them to somebody else. 45 years of training. I'm finally getting there. But when I give away one of my favorite jackets, it's not easy. A couple years ago, someone around in the city, they lost their jacket, and they needed a new jacket. And so I brought them in, and they needed something, and I brought out four of my favorite jackets and put them out there in front of them. And I said, which one do you want? Oh, don't pick one. Say you don't need it. You been there? Yeah? I mean, if you're not human, I don't know. But and the person picked an amazing jacket. And I was like, well done. That's amazing. Sacrifice hurts. Because it's something you love. It's something that you want. Giving money away that you were planning to go to Tahiti, or giving money away so that you can go to London, or giving money away because you have these dreams of things that you want to do and you want to accomplish. And when you sacrificially give away, it hurts. I present to you that if you give something away and you're like, I don't think it was sacrificial. And I also present to you, maybe you can give a little bit more. Joyful.
There's the jacket.
No. Man, you're going to be warm. That jacket's sweet. And you're tiny. You need warmth. You know what I'm saying? Like what I'm talking about is just a joyful heart of, man, I'm excited to give. When I was a little kid and my dad made me put my dimes out and 10 over there, and it was not joyful. It's like, this is stupid. And something happened in my 20s. Where God really got a hold of me, and I realized, you know what, God, I don't share this with you because I want to be prideful. I share this with you because I just want you guys to hear, man, your pastor loves giving. I remember that I read in scripture that you're supposed to bring your first fruits in, your first check, your first offering, the first check that our family wrote a long time ago when we wrote checks was our tithe check. And when my wife and I got married, I literally yelled at my wife, the first check we write in our house is the tithe check. So I handled it completely wrong to establish a correct thing. So I guess it equaled it out. But we went to marriage counseling. It's good. We're still together, I think. So one of the things I came to her later on was, is, you know what? I want to double tithe this month because I want to be a month ahead the rest of our lives. Because I never want to miss it. So right now, my family, this month, years ago, we're actually tithed next month. So I already gave money to God in advance, believing that my God is going to give me money. Do you guys get what I'm trying to communicate? Because here's the other problem. I've been around other Christians like, oh, we forgot to tithe. And I'm like, ooh, that is not good. Hey, God, we forgot about you. We were totally focused on self. Can you keep the world spinning and floating and taking care of all these other issues we were praying about? Like on layaway, see if we can come back to it. It happens, but what I want you guys to know is a mature Christian starts to realize, God, I'm asking you for everything. I probably should start putting my stake in. You see, Old Testament times, this is how God worked. God said, when you had an orchard of apples and the first apples that came off of the trees, I want you to give them to me. That makes no sense. We're hungry. We want apples. If we take all those apples off, how do we know we're going to get more apples? God goes, do you trust me? And we go, no. And we eat the apples. If you had an amazing, I know this is kind of a little bit graphic, but follow this for a second. We had, imagine a horse wins the Kentucky Derby and goes through all of the, it wins all three. It's the grand, it's got the whole grand of everything. And that horse later on will make that stable millions and millions and millions of dollars by being studded out so that that horse can produce other horses in the breeding line. The way it works in the Old Testament is God would say, bring me secretariat and sacrifice secretariat. And if you are a horse owner, you were like, that is stupid. We're going to give you our best horse and we're going to sacrifice that horse. The rest of our horses are going to be horrible. And God goes, I can do anything. Apparently you don't trust me. And that is human history. Us not trusting God. And so then it's like, okay, how do I bring this precious thing and give him my livelihood and my future and be joyful about it? Isn't that weird? That can only be produced through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't produce that in the flesh. Try. It will not work. Sustainable. I said last week, and coming up to this point, we were going to do a love offering, and I told you guys very clearly, I'm asking you to give generously. But I'm not asking you to give idiotically. We're going to try to help out this family this week. I don't want to rescue your family next week. That's not what I'm communicating. I asked you guys to sit back and talk to God and say, okay, God, what would you like us to give? Now, for some of you guys in here, I'm going to be very honest with you. A dollar, that's fine. It's your heart and it's your ability to get in the game. Some of you guys are going to be able to do $5. Some of you guys are going to be able to do $10. Some of you guys will be able to do $100. Some of you guys will be able to do a couple hundred. That's okay. I don't care. I'm not comparing anybody's gift to anybody else's gift. That's not what it is. Now, can I tell you guys what I've been praying over you guys the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I've been praying that everybody in here gets raises. I've been praying that everybody else in here, your water heater doesn't break. Sorry, Burtons, I forgot to pray over like pipes. I've been praying that furnaces run and boilers run. I've been praying that your company is sustained and your CEO doesn't come down on Monday and say we're closing the doors. I've been praying that your cars run. I've been praying that your car doesn't get towed or booted. I am praying over you guys that God would bless you financially so that you can be a blessing. Do you know why? I kind of have a vested interest in it. I'm a Levite. My family for years now has been dependent on the lives of other Christians being blessed by God and them blessing God's church. Now, let me be very clear here at Real Church. I don't work for you. That is a messed up standard that Christians have done. We as Christians financially give so that certain people can be set apart to do the kingdom work of the gospel, whatever that looks like. They will also put on services at our local church. But many of you guys in here know that you've seen me out in the community doing kingdom gospel work, serving people, doing stuff that has nothing to do, and we will never receive anything here at this church because of what I'm doing. But I am out serving all of God's children. Do you guys get that? Your pastor has been set apart to serve all of God's children. My job is not just to serve you. Pastor Mike and Jen, they're also in the same boat. They were thrilled when God said, hey, Mike, I don't want you to be a math teacher and earn a regular income. You're going to have to, even worse than Pastor Nathan, you're going to have to raise funds. You're going to have to go to people and ask them to give even over and above for you. That's not fun, depending on people. Most of you guys are type A's. You don't want to depend on anybody. And you have two people inside of this church, two families inside of this church who are constantly representing, depending on God Almighty. Sometimes we do it well. Sometimes we do it horribly well, which is why we preached on grace early. Okay. Glad you guys are laughing. But what I want you guys to hear is I have a vested interest in that you keep your job and you never get fired. Because I've asked God, can I drive Uber and make more money? He's like, no. I'm like, what if, can I work at Home Depot and just be in the plumbing aisle and just talk to people who don't want help? And he's like, no. I was like, but Lord, can I? He's like, Nathan, I will take care of you. And I'm like, no, you won't. Have you guys had that conversation with God? No, you won't. Let me tell you something. This a month ago, and I want you guys to get ready to cheer. This is you guys, sometimes you're not ready to do stuff. But I'm just prepping you, getting you ready. So like some of you guys be like, cheer, what is that in church? Like you like, oh, God is amazing. Like I no. Just get ready to be like, get a little bit, do what Nick does. Okay. Thank you, Nick. I got a text message from Andrea a couple weeks ago. 4 years ago, I was so stressed out, and I realized that our church needed to be 250 people in order for us to survive and for my family to make it. And I thought, I moved my family out here to experience complete financial ruin and absolute stupidity. Because, again, when you look at it, it makes absolutely no sense. And God said, Nathan, stop looking at the finances. I was reading through scripture, and King David, who's in the Old Testament scriptures, was talking to his general and said, general, count all of our armies before we go into battle. And the general looked at King David and said, King David, we're not counting our army because we don't win because of how many people we have. We win because God Almighty is on our team. King David, don't count the army. And God said to me, he said, Nathan, stop counting your people and stop counting your money. I was in the middle of depression. I was in the middle of anxiety. I was in the middle of massive fear, and you guys saw me fall apart. Because a church of 30 people cannot sustain my family. But God can. I got a text message from Andrea for the first time in Real Church's history. Last year, we as a church tithe and brought in all the money that it took for our church to operate. Sit and think about that for a second. Now cheer. Don't you want God to bring all the money in that your family needs for you guys to operate? How about you ask him? How about you ask him, Lord, would you please bring in all the money that my family needs to operate? You know our medical bills in 2019. You know the vacations we need to do in 2019. You know what cars are going to break down in 2019. You know where we got to go to the dentist in 2019. Lord, help. And our king looks at you and goes, what are you doing with the money that you have now? What are you doing with your time that you have now? You want me to be in the game. And oh, by the way, I'm a gracious God and I'm going to be in the game no matter what. But how about we get in the game together? And so that's the invitation that I invite you guys into. Here's our application. Malachi 3:10 says this. In Malachi 3:10, at this point in time, the people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And I want you guys to hear what I'm saying. In our church, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Keep doing it. This is one of those verses that just pay attention. Earlier on, they're not taking care of the church. They're not taking care of the Levites. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not putting their money where they're supposed to go. And God gets angry. He says, you want me to love you and you're not loving me? Let's see how this goes. Then it says in Malachi 3:10, God gives a promise and he says this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. God is saying, bring me what's mine and I will shower you like you can't even understand or imagine. And that is the testimony of my family. How in the world we own a house in Chicago, I don't know. How in the world we function, I don't know. How in the world we get to go on vacations, I don't know. But one of the things I want to share with you is every once in a while, and I'm not fishing, I just want you to hear. God meets the needs that you need when you're obedient and do what you're supposed to do. People have come to us and sent Danielle and I on vacations. They have given of their money and said, here is money for you to go on vacation. I know there are other people in this place. You have been sent to New York. Other things have gone wrong where people have come alongside and benevolently given to you so that you can go do what you're supposed to do. That's the way it works. And there are times when Danielle and I come along and we give to people so they can go do what they need to go do. That's the way it works. Dependent people, dependent on each other, dependent on God. Yay! Right? We don't like that. We're like, that does not sound fun at all. Here's what I want you guys to do. Some of you guys, Real Church, you've been coming here for a while, and you guys notice I don't pass the plate, right? So go to the final slide for me, for David. Go to the final slide of the, not that one, one more. The very end, the last one. Perfect. Some of you guys, you've been coming to Real Church for a while, and this is the thing. We don't pass the plate. Okay, and the reason why is I don't want to guilt you guys, and I want people who love this church, who want to be a part of this church, who want to help fund this church, and who want to be in this church. Does that make sense? I'm going to be honest with you. In 2019, we have some needs. Children's ministry, we need to bring in more money because children's ministry needs a budget. We need more money because there's some sound equipment that we need to replace. I'm just being honest with you. That's just the way life works. And so phenomenal that we did it in 2018. But in 2019, there's some other things that we need to do. And so some of you, I'm going to invite you for the first time to join in to this. If this is a place where you're blessed, come on in. And notice I didn't say how much I want you to give. Some of you guys, you're going to look at your budget and you can only start out at 2%. That's okay. Start there. And then what I want you to do is say, God, would you please bless us so that we can go to 3% next year? God, would you please bless us so we can go to 4% next year? God, would you please bless us so that we can start moving forward where we need to go so that in 10 years, we're bringing in the full tithe. I'm talking sustainably. Some of you guys, you're going to start, you're going to go, God, we want to give you 2%, and God's going to go, about time, boom, and he's going to hit you. And then he's going to watch to see if you take it all in or if you go, oh my gosh, God, you were amazing, here. And if you do that, here, God goes, ha ha, boom. And you're like, here, boom, here, boom, here, boom. And then you go, mine. He goes, Guys, get the problem? We've all done it, right? We've all done the mine. Here's the thing. Tithes and offerings are normal giving that we do. Today we're going to do a love offering, which is the benevolence one. And we're going to do a special offering here at the end where we invite our worship team to come forward. We've got different ways that you guys can give. And here's one of the things that I have a heart as a pastor is if someone comes to me and they're like, Nathan, I want to get right with God and I want to give to what God does, I'm really open to allowing you to do that. Okay? It's the same thing when someone says, man, I really want to give my life to Christ. I don't go, no. We're full. Like, I don't say that. Okay? So what I want you guys to see is there's an amazing way through technology, and oh my gosh, 10 years ago, I never would have thought of this. You guys all know this, where you like square up and stuff like that you can do through Zelle. Here's the amazing thing with Zelle is that there's no fees that are charged to Real Church. It's literally an electronic transfer, your bank to our bank, and it costs the church nothing, which is amazing because years ago, we were paying 3 and 5% on whatever came in, and the banks were making money off of those things, which is really sad when you're trying to with nonprofit give money to a very profitable company called Visa. So the other ways that you can give, I don't know if you guys ever heard of these things, they're called checks. You have to put the right date on it, apparently, I've heard. You know, cash, there's credit card, there's Square Cash that we can do, but here's the thing that I want us just to start preparing for here. Some of you guys, for the first time, you're gonna go, you know what? We're in. We love the mission and vision of Real Church. We wanna do this. Real Church loves on us. God loves on me. God's blessed me. I just want to jump in. That's just regular tithes and offerings. Please, go for it. Do it. And then today, we're going to do something special. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up right now. And we're going to do just two songs we close with. But I'm going to give you guys an opportunity for you guys to give a love offering. And to give a love offering to God. I know some of you guys have already prepared your love offering. You already have it. And that's awesome, okay? Some of you guys, again, if you're a guest with us, just sit and watch. I am not asking for any of your money. This is our church. You are a guest here. Welcome. You just get to watch Christians look really scared. It's going to be great. Okay? But what I want you guys to do is there's a couple things. I've been told by Andrea that when you go into Zelle, you can put a memo in there. If you're going to start for the first time and you're going to give an offering, write in the memo offering. If you're gonna do the love offering, write the word love. Does that make sense what I'm asking? Okay. I already told you, I'm already in, and my family, my wife and I, we talked again this morning. I was like, babe, where are you at? And I already had a number in my head, and she hit the number right on the head. I said, okay, babe, your job while we're doing this is you're gonna do it. You're gonna send it in through Zelle. Go ahead and make that happen. Okay. Jen, I know you're already up, but can you bring the children's ministry back in? Perfect. Because I know there's some other leaders in there that need to be a part of it. I know some of your parents are like, oh no, freedom's over. But the other thing is I want little kids to see what adults do when they love God. I don't want to hide family stuff of what we're trying to do. And so let me go to the final application. So if you can go back up to that. The final application is I believe I cannot outgive God. Okay? I believe I cannot outgive God. I also believe that God blesses me so that I can bless others. Here's our application. Be a blessing this week. Amen? Anybody in here praying that God blesses you this week? Maybe somebody else is supposed to be your blessing. How about you pray that they do it, right? Maybe you're the blessing for somebody else, okay? So this is what we're gonna do. In the back, if you have a check or you have cash, we have, and most of you guys don't even know this, but there's a little wooden box back there that's our little offering bucket. You can take it back there and you can set it in. If you've brought cash and you want it, and I have no problem with this, tax deductible, I have no problem. You want it recorded, make sure you talk to Andrea. Andrea, stand all the way up, please. Okay, Andrea, go to her. You tell her exactly what you're giving. By the way, she'll know it anyway, so you're not like, it's not secret, okay? And so she'll be able to do that. And then Rachel, hold that one up for me. So that's the, if you have something like a check or a cash or whatever, you can put it in there. If you need to, if you want to give with a credit card, that's totally fine too. Emily is up here. She can totally help you out with that as well. Okay? We do not accept children. You guys are like, wow, he's not a car salesman. So this is what I want to do. Would you join me, and I'm going to pray over you. Would you pray over me at the same time? Stand up real quick. I'm going to ask that God blesses you. Would you please pray that God blesses me? Can you do that for me, please? Would you also please pray with me that God blesses our church so we can be a blessing? God bless us with homes. God bless us with jobs. God bless us with money. God bless us with children. God bless us with friends, relationship, God, vehicles. Lord, bless us with heat, with clothing. And God, bless us with things that we can give back to you so that you would be blessed and your kingdom would be blessed. Heavenly Father, I ask this simply here. God, I pray this week and this month you blow this church away financially. God, I pray that you interrupt them and you show up and you start showing them how good you are. And God, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit, they realize, God, you gave this to me so that I can give some of it away. And they realize, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, give us the strength to tell our flesh no. Give us the wisdom and the obedience to glorify your name. We love you, God. Amen. And as we worship together, may he bless us as we bless him. Amen. You guys are free to move around. If you have your apps, you can do it right where you're at. Worship team is going to sing and do whatever you guys need to do in these next two songs. Do the business that you need to do. Amen.